Well, good evening, Christ Covenant Church. If you may, please turn with me to our passage today, the letter Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, the second letter, chapter 11, verses 16 through 33. And will you find this in your Bibles? Let me take this opportunity to introduce myself and thank you for how have you been loving and encouraging to me and my family throughout these 3 years. For those of you who do not know me, I don't have the pleasure to know. My name is Alberto Paredes. I came to Charlotte with my wife, Laura, in 2019 after graduating in medicine. In 2020, we had our daughter, Pia, the most beautiful Mexican-American 1.5-year-old non-communing member of Christ Covenant Church. That's one of the benefits of being an international, is you can do this kind of statements and get away with it. But if there's another 1.5-year-old Mexican-American, I'd love to meet you. You have a free dinner at my house before the year ends, so come talk to me after the service. Just this month, Laura has finished her master's in biblical counseling, and I am still looking forward to completing my master of divinity and my master of arts in theological studies by May 2023. After that, hopefully, if the Lord opens the right doors for it, I'm looking forward to engage in some further education, and with the purpose of coming back to Mexico to pastor a local church and train other pastors, others who didn't have the same opportunities God has given to us. So yes, we're one of those crazy people that just love studying and studying more. And yet, we also love the people. And we found a home and a family here at Christ Covenant Church, for which we are incredibly grateful. We love this church, and that's why it's indeed a great honor and a privilege to be here with you this evening. We value your love very, very much. And if we think about it, there is an intrinsic relationship between that which we value and that which we boast about. We tend to boast on that which we consider more valuable. Now, at the same time, while studying the theme of boasting these past weeks, Paul has stated that there are two kinds of boasting. The first is in the flesh, and that's spoken of as foolishness. The other is in the Lord, which is what we ought to do. And today's passage displays a good example of both, and in doing so, it gives us the proper tools to discern if we are boasting in the right things and in the right way. So you might want to think of this as a diagnostic test, an evaluation, if you may, which is fitting while we are closing this year. The question this passage is helping us answer is this: how do we know if we are boasting in the right way? And so my purpose tonight is that we may be able to recognize what kind of boasting we are involved with. In other words, now that we know that there are two kinds of boasting, this boasting in the flesh and boasting in the Lord, this passage will help us define where are we standing concerning those. Now, we need to remember that Paul uses a lot of sarcasm here, and that may make this passage somewhat confusing. But I'm convinced that this sarcasm is designed to make evident the wrong ways in which the Corinthian church was boasting. So here's what I want to do in the next 30 minutes or so. As we work together to answer this question, how do I know if I'm boasting in the right way? We are going to use three sub-diagnostic questions, which are going to be today's sermon's main point. So if you are taking notes, you might want to write this down. Number one, what am I receiving for what I value? Number two, why am I relishing these things as valuable? And number three, how do we respond when valued things don't come our way? So receiving, relishing, and responding. With this in mind, let us read from 2 Corinthians 11, 16 through 33. I repeat, let no one think of me foolish, but even if you do, accept me as a fool, so that I too may boast a little. What I'm saying with this boastful confidence, I say not as the Lord would, but as a fool. Since many boast according to the flesh, I too will boast. For you gladly bear with fools, being yourself wise. For you bear it if someone makes slaves of you or devours you or takes advantage of you or puts on airs or strike you in the face. To my shame, I must say we were too weak for that. But whatever anyone else dares to boast of, I'm speaking as a fool, I also dare to boast of that. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the offspring of Abraham? So am I. Are they the servants of Christ? I am a better one. I am talking like a madman with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings and often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at the sea on frequent journeys in dangers of rivers, dangers of robbers, dangers from my own people, dangers from Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers in the sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. Who is weak? And I am not weak. Who's made to fall? And I am not indignant. If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knows that I'm not lying. At Damascus, the governor under King Aretas was guarding the city of Damascus in order to seize me. But I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped his hands. This is a sufficient, infallible, and inerrant word of God. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this evening. We recognize our weakness. And we ask, Lord, that you would grant us your spirit. You would have mercy upon me, a weak man, so that I will preach your gospel with strength. Father, I also ask you to strengthen your people insofar as I preach this scripture faithfully. May it be so, solely for your glory. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. So, the first question we ought to answer from this text is, what are we willing to receive for what we value? Paul has expressed his discontent with the Corinthians for taking heed of the super apostles' accusation against him, against his apostleship, and therefore against the gospel he delivered. To show the Corinthians the foolishness of their arguments, Paul himself is engaging in what is commonly known as the fool's speech. And here's when it gets a little tricky. On the one hand, he will speak not according to the Lord. Now, this doesn't mean that Paul ceases to be inspired while penning these things down, but that he will engage in an argument according to human foolishness, so that the Corinthians will turn again to boasting in the Lord rather of boasting in the flesh. As we heard this morning, this was a really difficult and serious situation. Can you notice that? We don't have many other places in Scripture in which an apostle writes with this level of sarcasm. What he is doing is putting himself in the place of the Corinthians to show precisely the absurdity of the argument they are making. The problem with the Corinthians, as we heard today, is that they were receiving this false teacher, these apostles that were making the work of the devil. And so before engaging in the fool's speech, Paul will rebuke the Corinthians for what they're doing. His accusation is that by valuing the wrong people, by receiving the wrong apostles, the Corinthians are being willingly destroyed instead of built up. Paul says, Corinthian church, these people are slaving you. They are devouring you. They are taking advantage of you. Financially, most likely, they are slapping you in the face. These apostles are humiliating you. They exalt themselves over you. And you, Corinthians, receive that. You applaud it. Not only these Corinthians were receiving all this from the false apostles, but they were doing so, look at verse 19, they were doing so gladly. They were not even bothered with what was taking place. Furthermore, they thought of themselves as wise while receiving them. Can you see the sarcasm here? Paul saying, you believe yourselves to be wise, and yet this people is taking advantage of you? You are being destroyed, and you are glad in your destruction. In 1973, in Stockholm, Sweden, Dan Erik Olsen, a very, very Swedish name, took four people hostages during a bank robbery. Now, something happened during that time Olsen had with these four hostages. That when the hostages were finally released and Olsen was apprehended, none of the victims wanted to press charges against him. Furthermore, what's even more striking is that they started to raise funds to pay for Olsen's defense attorney. What happened was that Olsen somehow convinced his victims that he was the victim there. He was the victim of the system, that he was the one in need of help. He change his hostages' value system so that they would now side with their captor. This phenomenon was later referred to as the Stockholm Syndrome. In a very real way, what's happening in Corinth was the Stockholm Syndrome in the church. So maybe the Stockholm Syndrome should be called the Corinthian Syndrome, after all. But the Corinthian church was being held hostage by false teaching, and they were siding with the false teachers. They were willing to receive all that abuse and humiliation from them. They were doing so gladly, and they were thinking themselves as wise while doing so. So maybe the first filter to know if we are boasting in the right way is to ask yourself, what are you willing to receive for what you are valuing? What are you willing to receive for what you value? Maybe you boast in the great house you've got, but the cost of it was neglecting your family for years. And you might gladly receive that. Maybe a promotion at work. But if you had to step over people or be unfaithful to God, is that a good cost to pay? Are we to receive that so that we may boast on it later? Maybe you have boasted on not being caught in your sin, while not considering that receiving discipline is way better than receiving hell. What you are willing to receive in order to boast shows the state of your heart. It shows the system of values you have. It shows what your soul is valuing the most. It shows your God or your idol. The Corinthians were willing to be abused by these super apostles, and the worst part is that they were blind about it. That's perhaps one of the greatest issues. If we are so lost in our own wicked boasting as to receive things that are destroying us, how do we step out of this? That's perhaps why the Apostle Paul is writing to the church, for us to notice that one of the ways God has responded to this question is by providing us with loving leadership in the church. Caring leadership to reveal our sin. 2 Corinthians 6:11, our heart is wide open for you. 6:13, we speak to you as our children, Corinthian church. 11:11, God knows I love you, says Paul. And so, Christ's covenant, God has gifted you with loving elders and pastors who care for you. And the question is, would you take heed when they come with advice, with rebuke even? Would you value what God has given you? The Corinthian church was not being successful in doing that. Now, how can this be? How does anyone end up in that place with such destructive boasting? The thing is that such as Jan Erik Olsen convinced his captives, the false teacher had to convince the Corinthian church that there was value to be found in another thing, in something other than the gospel of Jesus Christ. And hence, to discern my kind of boasting, it is not enough to ponder what am I willing to receive in order to boast, but also why am I relishing certain things so much? Why is it that I'm ascribing value to the things I want to boast about so much so that I'm willing to receive all kinds of trouble for them? Now, I will not go point by point over all the items of Paul's list, but I think we can group them and take them not as an exhaustive list, but as common examples of things we human beings often value. And so we have our heritage and origins, our family, ministry, work, personal achievements, trouble even, and hardships, external difficulties, internal pain. The list seems to go from the most positive aspects to the most negative experiences, all which is called madman's speech in verse 23. You might have heard something like that before. Oh, but I come from a good family. I have a good career. I have built my ministry. I grew my business out of nothing. Or even with pain and hardships, life has struck me many times, but I continue to get up. My life is the story. My story is the story of a fighter. Now I can rejoice with those who are thankful about their families, work, ministry, and even the hardships and the circumstances God has placed on their lives. But there's a large gap from being thankful to being boastful. The one who boasts in the flesh relishes these things because they ascribe some kind of strength to him. They place him forth as the one to whom glory and honor be due. This kind of foolish boasting attitude puts men's strength at the center. And this is the sort of idea false apostles were sowing deep into the Corinthian church. They were speaking about their heritage, deeds, their ability to talk, their letters of recommendation, all their own strength. And yet at the end of this speech, Paul's logic is reversed. And then his intention is revealed. Look with me at verse 30. If I must boast, Paul says, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. The term here, asthenia, in the Greek, used for weakness, is still used today within the medical community as a sign in many diseases that leaves the patient weak with complete lack of energy and lack of strength. So, one of the conditions in which we see this is in cancer patients undergoing chemotherapy. If you know someone or you yourself have experienced this, you know what I'm talking about. Utter weakness. Even the most trivial tasks become hard, almost unbearable. And yet somehow, this is in what Paul wants to boast. And the question we must ask is, why? Paul's reason to boast in his weakness is so that the strength of God and not of men will be magnified. So that God and not men will receive honor and glory. And maybe the best illustration we have was precisely what we celebrated yesterday. That of Jesus himself. Being God the Son, very God of very God, he took on flesh and came as a baby to this world. Very man of very men. He was placed in a manger, surrounded by filthy animals, not a sterile environment for the King of Kings to be born. Most probably, you had a better place to be born than Jesus. Have you ever thought of that? King Herod, his creature was trying to kill him. Mary and Joseph had to flee to a foreign country so that Jesus was not murdered as an infant. He who created everything and without whom nothing that was made is made. He who is preeminent over all things had to learn obedience. Can you imagine? How was it for the Holy One of God to submit to imperfect parents? To unrighteous religious leaders, to unjust Roman authorities, for the creator of the universe to be insulted, spit upon, ridiculed, and nailed naked to a cross. Weakness. But he withstood all this so that the strength and mighty power of God would be made manifest in his resurrection. And so he made evident that the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Jesus received all this because he valued God's glory above man's strength. Which for one thing should lead us to ask, why are we giving such value to certain worldly things? Who's setting the standards of strength and weakness in our lives? Is it human strength? Are you boasting according to the flesh? Or are you boasting in what pertains to your weakness? Do we boast because we have a better car, a larger TV, a newer phone, better grades, because we got into a better university, because we have a better vacation destination than last year? Children, are you boasting because you get better presents than last year? Or better presents than your neighbors, better toys? Again, don't get me wrong. We ought to be thankful for all of these things, but the things we ought to boast about need to be of more value. They need to go above and beyond these earthly things. And the only thing, the only person who fits this category is Jesus Christ himself. All other things will come to an end. But we were created to enjoy him and glorify him forever. And when we boast in Christ, we are immediately reminded of why we need him in the first place. It is due to our prior sin and misery. It is precisely due to our weakness that we need God's strength in Christ Jesus. It is the poor who need the king. It is the sick who need the physician. And it is the sinners who need a savior. On the other hand, this new kind of boasting provides us Christians with an opportunity that is unique to the Christian faith. Only here the poor can boast in his poorness, for the Lord our God provides. Only here the sick can boast in his sickness, for the mighty hand of God provides relief and joy even amidst our pain. Here, he who suffers can boast, not because of the strength with which he takes in that suffering, but because we have a God that has promised to wipe every single tear from his people's eyes. Here, the sinner can boast, not in his sin, but in the cross of Christ that takes away the sin of this world. This is the gospel that changes lives. This is the gospel that is able to get us back to the right kind of boasting, to boasting in the Lord. Thus, we've seen that what we're willing to receive and what we relish show and say something about the nature of our boasting. And as a result, when we boast in our weakness, that will also influence the way we respond to adversities. What happens when things don't go our way? How do we respond when valued expectations and desires are not met? This is the last question, and it's also a good parameter to know in what kind of boasting we are involved. Are we boasting in the flesh? If so, when things do not come our way, we will despair. We will feel humiliated. We will be stripped off from that which is giving us value, and our identity will be shaken. But if we are boasting in the Lord, then we will be willing to accept, embrace, and even rejoice in hardships. Not because of our own strength, but because we are thrilled by what our sovereign Lord will bring out of it. And so Paul gives a superb example on how to react, to how to respond to difficult circumstances. Verse 31, the God and Father of the Lord Jesus, he who is blessed forever, knows that I'm not lying. The apostle not only makes an oath to sustain his claims, unlike what the false apostles were bragging about, what he's claiming is backed up by God himself. But what's more is that while we remember of all of these apostolic hardships, the dangers of death he has been put through, the anxiety he feels for all the churches, in the middle of it all, he burst into a blessing. He who has put me through all this, he and he alone is blessed forever. And he knows that I'm not lying. How does he do that? How can we do that? The apostle goes back to the beginning. He recalls the moment when everything started. When his paradigm of strength and weakness shifted. There was a time in which Paul had all of those things that the Corinthian church was requiring of him. There was a time in which Paul had authority. He was harsh and severe in person as well as in letter. He had letters of recommendations to back up his mission. He was leading an armed group. That was Paul, Saul of Tarsus, in the road to Damascus. If anyone knew about boasting in the flesh, that was him. And yet, there he was brought low. There he tasted God's grace and mercy. And that transformed him for life. So when he went to Damascus with the plan to exercise his human authority, his human strength, he was given a different kind of authority. He was given the authority to proclaim the gospel to the Gentiles and was granted to suffer for this cause. That's the time in which Paul was lowering a basket through a window in a wall so that he would escape death. He who thought himself to be much, who boasted about his origin, his heritage, his work, his mission, he was being lowered in a basket, fleeing for his life. And in this letter to the Corinthian church, Paul is using this same episode to now boast in his weakness, to boast in the Lord. So the final question for us today is this: how do you respond when circumstances are off? Are you ready to boast in your weakness? Let us take Paul's example. Let us bless the Lord through difficult times just as much as we bless him through times of prosperity. Let us remember that God has done for us what God has done for us. And with us, let us go back to the beginning and see God's mighty hand in our lives. Let us remember our conversion, our baptism. Let us be reminded every time we hear the gospel, every time we partake of the Lord's Supper. Even every time we are rebuked by loving leadership. Let us boast in our weakness so that Christ's strength be magnified. I would encourage you also to listen to so many of the stories around you. Christ's covenant people have had and is having a lot of people facing hardships. Pay attention to those who are able to find joy in the midst of dark times. See what they're boasting on. There are many examples, even here. That's one of the reasons why we love Christ's covenant so much. It's so encouraging. If you're one of those who have been boasting in the Lord, finally, let me thank you for setting an example for others here. And let me join you in thanking God for what he's doing in your life. However, if by the diagnostic questions we have made today, as we come to the end of this year, you find yourself to be in the other side of Paul's argument. If you are boasting in the flesh, let this sermon be a warning for you and an invitation. Would you find what true value is all about? Let the weak man, let the sinner find a real reason to boast only in Jesus Christ, the strong Savior. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Even when the argument might be harsh, even when it might pierce through our heart, we know that it is for our good. So let us take heed of Paul's warning to the Corinthian church. Let us boast on nothing else but Christ's person and righteousness. let us stand in him alone forever and ever. Amen.